Hello and welcome to the first ever edition of On the Record, which is a new concept here at PHNX D-backs, where before every Diamondbacks series this season, I'm going to interview a beat writer covering the team that the Diamondbacks are playing. Of course, the Diamondbacks playing the St. Louis Cardinals for a three-game series this weekend, and there's no one I would rather start this with than talking with Katie Wu from The Athletic. She does an outstanding job covering the Cardinals. So without further ado, here's my conversation with The Athletic's Katie Wu. All right, well, we are very excited to be joined by Katie Wu from The Athletic. She does an outstanding job covering the St. Louis Cardinals for The Athletic. Katie, really appreciate you making the time today. Thanks for hopping on.
No, thank you, Jesse. I'm excited to break down some Cardinals D-backs.
So we made our preseason predictions here a couple of weeks ago, just, of course, right before the season started. And I, Katie, picked the St. Louis Cardinals to win the NL Central. And I'm not necessarily feeling fantastic about that so far, but it is early. It's early, right? 6-7 for the Cardinals. 6-7, of course, are the Diamondbacks as well. Both of these teams entering this series with identical records. Obviously, 2023 was not the season the Cardinals fans were hoping for. It feels like, I mean, the Cardinals, it just feels like they have to be an above 500 team every single season. That's sort of how it's always been. And for them to have the year that they did was pretty bizarre. What are just kind of the vibes right now in St. Louis for Cardinals fans here in the early going of the season?
I think Cardinals fans are skeptical about this season, and I can certainly understand why, given what 2023 looked like. But 2 weeks into the season, I know a 6-7 record is definitely nothing to write home about, but when you really break down the first 2 weeks of the year and you think about the Cardinals and their strength of schedule and who they're missing, because they've missed a ton of key players to start the year, the fact that they're 6-7 but have been competitive in 11 out of 13 games, I think, is a positive takeaway. This is not the Cardinals team that the front office envisioned rolling out on opening day. So the fact that they've been able to put some things together with some key players out, you know, no Tommy Edman, no Lars Nootbaar, who will actually be back today. And then Sonny Gray just made his first start of the year on Tuesday. It's been, I would say, an encouraging sign, but certainly room for improvement going forward.
It was a pretty interesting offseason, it seemed, for the Cardinals. Obviously, they wanted to make some additions to the starting rotation, and they did that. Sonny Gray, of course, being a pretty big get for them. Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, coming back over as well. It was a really bizarre offseason for a lot of different reasons. The Diamondbacks wind up getting former Cardinal Jordan Montgomery on a, you know, with a $25 million guarantee when all was said and done. Do you think that Cardinals fans are asking what if? Like, what if they hadn't struck so early in the market and kind of waited it out? Could they have had a Blake Snell or brought Jordan Montgomery back or something along those lines?
I know they're asking what if, because when the Jordan Montgomery signing broke, I think my Twitter DMs crashed, basically, because it seems like for that amount of money and that commitment, yeah, why couldn't the Cardinals do that? But I actually think it's ironic, because for so long, the fan base and media to some extent has criticized the Cardinals front office for being reactive instead of proactive. So for John Mozeliak to go out in the middle of November and sign three starters, including Sonny Gray, who I think is a perfect fit for this Cardinals team, you know, I was pretty encouraged by that. They might not have been the names that Cardinals fans were targeting, with the exception of Gray. But to me, it was like, wow, this is a proactive team, a proactive front office. They jumped the starting pitching market. They're serious about improving, even if it is in a very unorthodox but traditional way for the Cardinals. And then it turns out that by being proactive, they potentially missed out on getting these guys for a much smaller deal than originally projected. But honestly, who could have known that? I still think what the Cardinals did was smart, because this isn't the year to risk it. They have to go out and essentially make up for last season, because it was such a disaster in St. Louis. So if John Mozeliak would have just sat around and waited, I would imagine that the noise around that would have been even worse. So I just chalk that up as like a big league hang with them. You know, maybe they could have waited a little longer, but I certainly understand why they went out and made the moves that they did. And again, 2 weeks in, small sample size, but so far so good. I think Kyle Gibson, Lance Lynn, and Sonny Gray obviously will be bigger and better additions than most people expected when they signed.
So in the early going, as you said, the Cardinals are missing some key pieces. It also seems like the middle of their lineup has not been quite what you'd expect. I know you just wrote about this with Nolan Arenado and Paul Goldschmidt not getting off to strong starts. Of course, Diamondbacks fans very familiar with Paul Goldschmidt, also pretty familiar with Nolan Arenado from his time as a member of the Rockies. What are you seeing from those two guys here early in the season?
Yeah, when you look at the Cardinals offense as a whole, it just really hasn't been great. They've scored 3 runs or fewer 8 out of 13 games. They have a team OPS of 642, not what you want. And they struck out collectively 116 times. So the fact that they were 6-7 with an offense that looks as paltry as that, I think that's pretty encouraging. Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado are set to different standards. You're looking at guys like Jordan Walker, who's hitting under 200, Victor Scott II, their rookie center fielder, who skipped AAA and is on the roster. Essentially because every other outfielder is injured. He's hitting below 100. You know, we knew there was going to be a struggle with Victor Scott offensively. Maybe not to this extent, but it is what it is. And then you look at Nolan Gorman, who's starting to get going from the power perspective, but is still striking out a ton. But still, those things are all like relatively expected because those players are so young and still developing. Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, not the case. They're the big bats for a reason. For them to be slumping to the extent that they have, I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is 8-44 with 16 strikeouts. He has one extra base hit at home run against the Dodgers on opening day. Arenado's OPS is below 600. He hasn't homered dating back to August 19th of last season, and that includes spring training. So obviously with these two guys, these are numbers that no one really expects. I think it's more of a timing issue for Arenado, and for Goldschmidt, it's lack of success against the off-speed. He's still doing damage against fastballs in the zone, but you throw Goldschmidt a slider out of the zone, he's chasing. For both of these guys, it just looks like they're not feeling right. They haven't gotten their timing down. Again, 13 games out of a 10-plus year sample size is probably unfair, but I think their struggles, along with the team's overall offensive struggles, kind of compound the issue. So the good news for Cardinals fans is that both of these guys have plenty of familiarity hitting at Chase Field, Paul Goldschmidt especially, and it would sure be nice to get them going. But yeah, if there was one thing to be concerned about this early in the season, I would have put money on pitching. Definitely wouldn't have done the offense, but here we are.
Yeah, well, that's baseball for you for sure. I know this is Paul Goldschmidt's the last season of his deal. I'm sure I've definitely heard from Diamondbacks fans that, you know, maybe there's hope that Paul Goldschmidt plays for the Diamondbacks again. But I know I've at least read some stuff about Goldie potentially being a fit to re-sign back with St. Louis. I know it's really early. I don't know if those conversations are really even being had, but what is your sense of that situation?
You know, it's funny because usually the Cardinals have a patented spring training extension. And sure. I think we were all kind of looking at Paul Goldschmidt because why not? I mean, this is a guy who wants to be in St. Louis, and the Cardinals certainly love having him. But after conversations over the offseason that Paul had with John Mozeliak, their president of baseball operations, Mo kind of wanted to see where the team was at coming into the middle of the season. So, and that makes sense, right? If the Cardinals have another year that was below their standard, could they offload Goldschmidt? Could they offload Arenado and try to do their version of a rebuild? Potentially. Would I still think that the odds of Goldschmidt signing an extension in St. Louis are higher than that? I do think that, but no extension for Goldschmidt this spring. Instead, they extended manager Ollie Marmol. Wasn't the extension that we thought was going to happen, but no. You know, they are consistent. I will say that. So for right now, I think it's just wait and see for Goldschmidt. I know that neither side's they don't definitely want to part with each other, but how the team plays over the first half could dictate whether or not that extension gets done.
Interesting. So looking at these starting pitching matchups this weekend, it's Steven Matz against Brandon Pfaadt tonight, Kyle Gibson and Ryan Nelson on Saturday, Miles Michaelis against Zach Gallen on Sunday. The Diamondbacks miss Sonny Gray here. They also miss Lance Lynn, whose last trip to Chase Field did not go particularly well.
It was not
a great time for him. I imagine maybe he's not too disappointed about not pitching in this series. But what should Diamondbacks fans know about Matz, Gibson, and Michaelis? Have those guys been trying anything new this year? Are there any new developments? I know, you know, all of those guys are veterans and have been around for a while.
I feel like it's pretty status quo for Kyle Gibson and Miles Michaelis. Kyle Gibson's had an excellent start for the Cardinals and a not so excellent start for the Cardinals, but both times he's been able to reach into the sixth inning. That's kind of their what they're looking for Kyle, is to go out, get quality innings, go deep into ball games. Miles Michaelis has notched back-to-back quality starts. He's a strike thrower. He pitches fast. I mean, the books out on Miles Mikolas. If you can beat him in the zone, you'll have some luck in hitting the ball out of the ballpark. But he's been pretty effective in mixing up his pitch arsenal to lead to those back-to-back quality starts. To me, Steven Matz is the most interesting of these pitchers. He's been on a pitch count for his first and second start, but that should be lifted for Friday's game. He should be full go, according to manager Ollie Marmol, said that on Wednesday. And the reason that the Cardinals have put him on a pitch count to start the season and were deliberately slow in building him up during spring training is because he's had a lengthy injury history in St. Louis. And the Cardinals thought by just taking their time, stretching him out slowly, and kind of introducing him back into the season would be best for him long term. So far, so good. Matz has an ERA of 1.74. He's looked really good in his first two starts. He's utilizing a sinker that's velo is up to 95, 96. That's much higher than his whole career. And he's gone to the changeup more than the curveball. He's essentially using a two-pitch mix, but he's done so effectively that it's led to some really encouraging results. So I think it'll be interesting to see what Steven Matz does in his first start with no limitations, how he's going to use that pitch mix, because I think he could be a game changer for this rotation should he be able to stay healthy.
Didn't Miles Mikolas make a comment over the offseason? Something, I have the phrase Midwest farmers in my head when he was talking about the Dodgers and their offseason spending. Can you take us inside that moment? What exactly happened there?
Yeah, we were meeting up with him after a start against the Nationals in spring training in West Palm Beach, and he had just been named the opening day starter in place of Sonny Gray, of course, who went down with that hamstring strain. And, you know, Miles Mikolas, he's an authentic guy. He's not afraid to say what he thinks. And I appreciate that about him. But yeah. He basically compared pitching for the Cardinals, you know, a bunch of Midwest farmers, which is funny because most of those guys are from like Florida, including Miles, to billion-dollar baseball, which is what he accurately termed the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Sure.
But, you know, I thought it was a good test for Miles to go out there and face that lethal Dodgers lineup. D-backs fans will get to know all about that. That team in the division must be fun. But yeah, that's just Miles being Miles, and he's going to go out and say whatever he wants. And the thing about Miles is that if he says something and it blows up in his face, he's still there the next day, ready to talk about it. You know, it's just kind of it's nice to have a little bit of personality on this Cardinals rotation. That's for sure.
Yeah. You have to respect that as a journalist. I mean, what more can you ask for sure? Jordan Walker, to me seems like a pretty important player for this team, just him kind of getting going. He's at least one of the reasons why I picked the Cardinals to win this division. If he comes out and hits the way that some people have expected or thought that he could, that could change the calculus. What have you seen from him here in the early going?
It's been a tough start for Jordan Walker at the plate. He doesn't really look like he has his timing down. He looks like he's searching, especially against the off speed. Just looks a little bit in his head. On the bright side, the defense is certainly much better. I think we're well aware of the Cardinals turning Jordan Walker from a third baseman to an outfielder, basically at the major league level. It did not go well for him in the first half of that experiment. But credit to Jordan, he really took his struggles to heart, and he spent the whole offseason down in Jupiter, Florida. He actually moved there and worked out at the Cardinals spring training complex every day with a bunch of instructors to improve his defense. And already you can see that it's much better. Now, am I proclaiming that he's a gold glove right fielder? No, certainly not. But he's definitely looking more closer to league average than before. And hopefully the bat can follow through, because I agree with you, Jesse. He's absolutely instrumental to this Cardinals team. When you look at guys like Paul Goldschmidt and Nolan Arenado, you know the power is coming there. Same with Wilson Contreras. But for this lineup to really click and succeed the way that it's designed, Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker are equally as important. Hasn't really been the start that Jordan Walker has wanted, but maybe again, change of scenery, going to Chase Field, playing some ball in the desert could help.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens here, Katie. 2-6-7 teams going head to head. Some interesting pitching matchups, and it's certainly too early to tell. But we'll see if I look like an idiot when all is said and done for picking the Cardinals to win the Central. Still holding out some hope that the Cardinals, like, they just can't have back to back seasons like missing the playoffs and being a bad baseball team. There's just something like deep ingrained within the universe that would not allow that to happen. But I don't know. Last year was weird, and this is an okay offseason for them, it seems, but maybe not what people were really hoping for. So I guess we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it should be, if anything, an interesting division. Who would have thought in the NL Central that all these teams would be over 500 for 2 weeks? But yeah. I don't see that lasting, so we'll see.
Yeah, we were talking on our show about how all the central teams just like heard the outside noise. They heard all of the hatred from all of the pundits. And so they've been responding, and they've certainly, a bunch of central teams, not only in the National League, but in the American League as well, have started off pretty well. But thank you so much again, Katie, for hopping on today. This was a lot of fun, and we'll see what happens this weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Jesse. Thanks for having me.